When I was in university, I had a little bit of an issue with collecting books. So I would go into bookshops, love going to bookshops, and would spend hours in there browsing the books and ending up, typically buying a few every visit. And I quickly sort of built up quite a sizable book collection. And every time I'd look at these books, I would sort of fantasize about, how amazing it would be to be reading these books and have read the books and acquired the knowledge or experienced the pleasure of the narrative and had that fantastic experience. So I was sort of, living in a somewhat sort of unrealistic, fantastical state. And, of course I was never able to read all those books. There was no way I was ever going to be able to read them. Maybe I read like 5% or 10%. And even though books are easier to store than board games, I ended up, building up quite a big collection of them. Ultimately, I was able to donate a lot of them to charity, and I kind of cut my book collection down to some favorites and some books that I had sort of a special association with and felt sort of had a strong sort of significance for me. But I was never able to read all of those books. And as the rather hyperbolic title of this episode indicated, I find myself in a similar situation with board games now. And there's a couple of factors around this. I mean, I had always set myself a bit of a self-defined limit of around 50 games for my collection. That seemed reasonable for me. And what's happened over the past few years, just with life and busyness and family and stuff, is that my frequency of playing board games has gone down dramatically. So I think in a lot of cases, the number of board games you have in your collection is very much linked to the amount of times you play board games on a monthly, weekly, annual basis. So, if you're playing games, a few games a week, every week, week in, week out, you can probably get through a, 100 plus board game collection pretty easily. But if you're playing a game once every few months, like I have been, physical game, then even a 50 game collection feels like quite a lot. And I think that's kind of where I've ended up. That collection I have is feeling very, very sort of weighty. And even though I've massively reduced the number of board games I buy, I'm still accumulating more board games. And because I'm not actually playing as many, I'm not cycling as many out because I haven't had the chance to play them and see if I like them or not, and haven't sort of had a chance to cycle them out. So even though the net inflow of board games is reduced, the outflow is significantly diminished. And that's led to me kind of feeling like I'm in kind of collector mode rather than, board gamer mode. But I think, there's another aspect to this, which I always I've always experienced, and I think a lot of people experience. I don't know how many people I've come across in the board game hobby who sort of knowingly collect board games in that sort of deliberate sense of a collector. I just want to collect these games. I have no view of playing them. I just want to have them, and I like looking at them or knowing I own them or whatever. I don't think I've come across that many people like that. I think everybody is optimistic, that they're going to play these games that they own, but they don't get around to playing as many as they do. And I think there's a couple of different drivers there. I think firstly, there's the kind of inherent wonky nature of the board game marketplace. Board games are not like popular books. You can't rely on the fact that at any point you can go into a shop and buy X board game. Publishers die and go out of business. Board games that were once popular end up being long out of print, and they cost hundreds of pounds or dollars on the secondary market. So there's always this kind of fear of missing out. If I don't get this game now, it might be in print again for another 7, 10 years. So I think that's a really fair thing, fair excuse for a lot of board games as to why you can sort of feel quite trigger happy about buying new games. And I think the other factor is that a lot of the games that come out combine, previous designers, publishers, mechanics, artists that we enjoy. So we see these new sort of shinier, better looking versions of games that we once really enjoyed or we currently enjoy. It's really hard to resist the temptation of looking into that in more depth and being interested in perhaps, you know, buying that game. And I think for me at least, there was this kind of very naive notion of like the one game to rule them all. Like, you know, I'm going to buy this game and like I'm going to play it with family and they're going to really love it. And I'm going to be able to learn it really easily. And it's going to have multiple sort of replayability to it. And it's going to be something I can take to board game groups when I end up going. And you know, everybody there is going to really love it. And this sort of mythical one board game to rule them all that I have in my mind. And I convince myself so many times that certain new board games are going to be. Naively so, right? And I think that probably happens to a few different people. And so these elements together end up driving, you know, that aspect of collecting and accumulating more board games than you might realistically ever be able to play. And that's certainly something that's happened to me. You know, I do love this notion, and I kind of put it up in a bit of a pedestal. This, again, pretty naive, I think, utopian notion that, you know, I could pare down my collection to 10 games that I would just play over and over and over again, and those would be my kind of 10 desert island games that I wouldn't need any new games. And I think even when I was doing well at keeping my collection down to 50 games, I would get a lot of criticism. You know, people would say, "Oh, you hold yourself up as this minimalist, but you're not actually being a minimalist because you're buying more and more new games. You're just getting rid of your other games to keep your collection size down to this sort of artificial limit that you set." And I think that's a totally fair criticism. You know, I think minimalism in its pure sense is that you reduce the amount of buying that you do. And I've never really been able to do that. You know, I've gotten rid of lots of great games. I've cycled games through. I've repurchased games that you know, at one point I'd had and gotten rid of. So I think that ability to sort of get rid of games and sort of come down to a collection size of like, you know, 10, 15, even 20 games that you feel like you could play on repeat for the next 5, 10 years is really difficult because, you know, could you do that with books? Maybe, but could you do that with films or TV shows? Probably not. And so I think it's really hard. It's still a goal that I sort of fantasize and strive towards and dream about, but I more, you know, increasingly I know that it's probably not realistic. Even though, considering my very low frequency of board game playing, at least physical board games, a board game size of you know, 15, a board game collection of 15, 10 games, 20 games is probably more realistic. But for them to be the same games, you know, for 5, 10 years, I think is really, really challenging, for me at least. And I know other people who've got games that they've played hundreds of times, and I really envy those people and admire them at the same time. But I think that's some of the key elements that I see as contributing to this notion of building up a board game collection. And in my case, it's maybe not a huge number of games. You know, 70 games is a pretty small collection to most serious hobby board gamers. But I think some of the same factors apply to people who, you know, seen their collections swell to 500, 600, 700, 1,000 games. Same principles there as well. So yeah, I think this is kind of the notion. And then, you know, also board game publishers have gotten more and more sophisticated about, you know, plugging their games, building out the hype, building out the excitement. And we can all fall victim to that. Even more seasoned grizzly board gamers like me who have, you know, seen their fair share of board game marketing campaigns. But we can fall victim to this stuff as well. And it does impact us in the way we buy. And again, you know, seeing, you know, a favorite publisher, a favorite board game designer and an artist combine a game or a favorite kind of mechanism. You know, look at the recent growth in trick-taking games, right? Like, a lot of them share a lot of deep similarities. You know, I've probably played 4 or 5 trick-taking, card-shedding, ladder-climbing games, card games that are pretty similar to other ones I've already played. But, you know, it's kind of like trying a pizza. You know, you love pizza, and so trying a pizza with a slightly different set of toppings or flavors might be kind of nice, might be kind of interesting. You've got the safety of that kind of baseline pizza that you know you enjoy, and then you're adding these additional sort of quirks on top. So even there, you know, we've seen a huge bloom and blossom in sort of trick taking and card games because you know, people accept that they like the core mechanics and the underlying concept, but they want those little twists and those kind of spices of variety on top. So Really, this is kind of a message to myself in this podcast. I want to be a little bit more kind and understanding to myself. And, even though it does irk me that my collection is swollen to this size and I need to bring it down, trying to be a little bit more mature and understanding and reasonable in how I criticize myself with that. And, maybe there'll be more of you out there who listen to this and feel the same way and take some positivity from that and try to, we can try to all be a little bit, less sort of harsh with ourselves and a bit more understanding as to why we end up in this situation where we go into collector mode, or we end up in this position where we're collecting more than sort of just building out a functional utilitarian board game collection. But I think that's where I'm gonna call it. Hopefully some of the background noise hasn't been too bothersome. I'm actually sitting in a park. And a very pleasant day, enjoying the sun with a coffee, which is fantastic. Really thankful to be able to spend some time speaking with you all, enjoying a coffee in beautiful weather here in the UK, no less. And so I hope you all have a great rest of week, great weekend, and enjoy your games. All the best.